Our scripture today is found in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Let's pray before we read this. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word which you have freely and graciously and mercifully given to each of us. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to study your word together as part of the body of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord, this day, to open up our hearts and minds. Help us to see and hear and understand what you want us to. And we pray also for your mercy upon the sermon, that it too might be used for your glory. Lord, we thank you. And we pray that all that we get today, we put it into practice throughout our life, that others may see you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. Hear now God's word. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, we'll get to this in a moment. You know, I've only seen like two or three episodes of this. Here it's fantastic, but did you know that they made one with Woody Harrelson? Just one, like one episode with Woody Harrelson. And others in it. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so there's a lot of things I love about the Bible, and one of those things that I love about the Bible is its continuity from Genesis to Revelation. Oftentimes, when we think about the Bible, it's split in our mind between two books, Old and New Testament. And oftentimes, I hear, and I've said this lots, and I'll say it again and again and again, I hear people say how they are New Testament Christians. But when you focus merely on the New Testament, you neglect what the New Testament's based upon or built upon, the Old Testament. In fact, the book of Timothy, and I had mentioned this also before, in it, it says that all scripture is God-breathed and worthy for use in gaining salvation, right? Or something along those lines. Now, when Paul wrote that, he wasn't talking about the New Testament because it didn't exist yet. He's talking about the Old Testament and how important the Old Testament is. So it's not to be ignored. When you look at the Bible between Genesis and Revelations, you find themes that run from one end to the other end. One of the biggest themes I think that exists there is God with us. God with us, we see happening again from the beginning to the very, very end, which is just another new big beginning. We see God with Adam and Eve in the garden. We see God with Noah on the ark. We see God with Abraham and Sarah and the promise. We see God with Joseph when he's in Egypt. We see God with Moses and the Israelites in the desert. We see God with, of course, we see God with the prophets. We see God with Jesus. We see God with Paul. We see God with the new church. God with us is the theme that runs so strongly that I think that in summary, that's what the Bible is about. God with us and how that takes place. And God with us now, in this very moment with Jesus Christ. There's another theme in it that I think runs equally strong. And that theme is the need for relationship. One of the cool things that we see in the Bible from the very beginning is that God, and who's God? God is the creator of everything we see. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. all power, all knowledge, and God, who has everything and wants for nothing, still desired us, people, creation, the earth, the galaxy, the animals, the plants. God created all of that so that God could relate to it. And when God created people, God did so in God's own image. And as part of God's image, we too got this desire for relationship, for this big word, which is so big, belonging. When Adam was in the garden all alone, God saw that Adam was lonely. And so brought all the animals to Adam to see if Adam wouldn't be lonely and anymore. And it helped a little, I guess. And while the animals came to Adam, Adam named all the animals. Hey, look, you're a giraffe. And hey, you're a hippopotamus. And you look an awful lot like a squirrel, and so on and so forth. Adam naming all the animals, but Adam couldn't find a suitable partner. Adam was still lonely, still feeling that he didn't quite belong. And so God had Adam go into a deep sleep and created Eve out of his rib. And out of that rib, when Adam woke up and saw Eve laying there next to him, Adam said with great enjoyment and exclamation and excitement, "Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Adam belonged and loved Eve, and found someone that he could be with. When we look at the Bible again, from Adam all the way up, we start to see people who belong, who found relationships, who found someone that they could be with, they can trust, they can love, they can understand. People that they're devoted to. Adam and Eve, of course, Noah and his family there on the ark. One of the great moments of belonging in the Tower of Babel. All the people were afraid that God would destroy them once again, like God did through the flood. So they all gathered together at this great tower, and they built this great tower to have something to remember them by, or to be remembered by. They wanted to belong. God scattered them. And after they were scattered, they still sought belonging. But that belonging was now based upon language. And so they all went off into their own place, their own groups, based upon the commonality of language. They felt they belonged with one another. After the Tower of Babel, we could look some more. I mentioned Abraham and Sarah. Then we'll jump over to Moses. Who was Moses' companion? Who did he belong with? Aaron. They supported and loved one another through this great difficult time of leading these people. Then we can jump to, let's take a huge leap, and we'll go to the New Testament. This is one of my favorites. When Jesus sent out his disciples into the world in order to preach and teach the good news and the gospel, one gospel tells us that Jesus sent them out two by two. So we look at that, two by two. We look at another gospel and we see that Jesus sent them out in pairs. And he names those pairs. James is with John. Peter is with Andrew. What do those two things have in common? James and John, brothers. Peter and Andrew, brothers. And as we go down the list, they're all paired off, and presumably they're paired off with people who they feel like they belong to, who can support one another. This sense of belonging hasn't gone away in our life at all. In fact, we all long for belonging. I look at Pennsylvania in the 1920s and the 1930s and even up to today to some extent, not as strong as it was then, but our societies that were forming during that time split off into groups and social clubs, like the Polish halls, the Italian clubs, the there's one there's a lot of missing, but there's one in my head. The Tamaritzans were a club. You got the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts. You got the, what were you part of? My mom, my mom, the Rainbow Girls. And you had all these other groups, the American Legion, the Masons, the VFW, all these groups that people made together in order to feel like they belong. But the thing is that they all belonged based upon something that they valued or that they thought was important to them. Whatever it might be, a common interest, a genetic trait, you know, like I was born Polish, and so I'm going to be with other people born Polish, and so on and so forth. And some groups that people find belonging in are those things not that they have, but that they think they desire. And not all of these groups, any of the ones that we mentioned or any of the ones that are out there, not all of them are positive. We got gangs, which are based upon belonging, but because they feel like they don't belong anywhere else and they've been rejected, but they'll take them based upon what they can take from them, what they offer or what they can give, and sometimes those things aren't good. But there's this commonality in this sense of belonging. I want someone to want me. Not maybe as I am, but as I want to be. It's in all of us. We all got it. We all got this desire for relationship, for need, and for belonging. And our scripture taps into this. And it talks to us about this Christmas that we just celebrated. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive an adoption to sonship, to belonging, that we're all part of something. But what's so neat about this being part of something is that we don't have to aspire to being anything more than what we are, to be anything more than who we are in order to be part of this. Christ Jesus died for us because God created us. The thing that we need in order to be part of this family that God is creating is to be created by God, and that puts everyone in that group. Christ died for all of that. And when we recognize that within our hearts, we have with us a spirit that speaks to our hearts, and that spirit calls out, Abba, Father. Now, one of the things I forgot to mention at the last church is the Aramaic, which is Abba, is translated more into something like Daddy. It's extremely familial and personal and intimate. Not that we're just part of this group that has a hierarchy. All groups have some sort of hierarchy. But that which is at the top of the group that we're in through Jesus Christ as someone who loves us greatly. Someone who loves us not because of who we are, but because of whom's we are. That we belong to Jesus Christ. That God created us, and so God invites us into that family. Now why? Why are we preaching on this particular day, December 31st, 2023? Because of this. Does anyone have any idea what's going to happen in 2024? Any idea? I do. I have an idea. There will be some amazing things happening in 2024. Guarantee you. There will be some awesome things happening in 2024. The Olympics is going to happen. That's going to be a lot of fun. We got a new election. That'll be interesting. We got the United Methodist General Conference. That'll be a hoot. Whatever comes out of that. And I also know some other things that are going to happen in 2024. They're going to be some awful things. I may not know exactly what they are, but I guarantee you it's going to be awful things. We can count on these year by year. Good things and bad things. All these things are going to happen in the following year because they happen every year. Here's another thing that, you know, just to kind of put in as a little seed in the back of your mind. Maybe it's not going to be a great seed. You can eject the seed once I put it there. I don't care. But in Twitter, yesterday or the day before, Mark Zuckerberg, you know Mark Zuckerberg, creator of Facebook, CEO, owner. Mark Zuckerberg developed Facebook in the year, I don't know, let's make a year up, 2003. Sounds plausible. And then after that, you know, he got rich, and then this whole thing that I read. In 2005, Mark Zuckerberg did not make a bunker. In 2006, he didn't make a bunker. 2007, he didn't make a bunker. You know, all these years, Mark Zuckerberg didn't build a bunker. In the year 2023, at the very end of the year, Mark Zuckerberg built a bunker. Okay, it's a doomsday bunker. You know, and he's not the only one. We got all these rich business people building doomsday bunkers in the year 2023. Why? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they know something about 2024 that we don't know. I don't know. But I know this. I'm part of a family. I'm in a place where I belong. I got a father, a daddy, a papa who loves me, who sent his son to die for me, to raise from the dead. So I have the promise to dwell with Christ forever. And I know this and have this knowledge on the cusp of a brand new year where who knows what's going to meet me this year. That whatever I face, I know that I face with my family. I face with my family who loves me, not because of what I can offer, not because of what I've done, not because of my accomplishments, but because of whose I am. And because they love me, because of whose I am, I will do everything I can for my family, for my papa, for my daddy, for my God. I will help in all the times that go wrong in 2024. I will rejoice in all the times that go good in 2024 because I have a place that I belong. Because of Jesus Christ, we are all in the family. And we go into this new year not alone. Face the unknown with one another and with Jesus Christ by our side. So I may have a little fear, maybe a little trepidation, a little nervousness. But we're in this together. Whatever comes at us, Christ is with it and with us. And we can rejoice whatever might be. Because what is far stronger than what might be. And I thank God for that. Leave you with this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.